Your tagline is Nano Nature and Networks. Where did the idea for Ingenuity Lab come from? What was the genesis of this?
Ingenuity Lab came from some thoughts that I had and experienced over the last 15 years or so in looking at how the advances of technology were occurring and what the intersection of those advances were and what it meant and how they could be best exploited. Now, when I say nature, nano, and networks, the idea is how do I manipulate matter at the smallest possible scales? And then how do I take that manipulation of matter and then be inspired by the way nature does it at that scale and then incorporate them into large-scale systems which are meaningful to all of us? And so the idea is I'm going to look at the way the world works around us, the way whole world is created and the way it works, then see at the most fundamental level how those things occur and then be able to control those molecules at that level to go and create new systems that allow us to do things that are different than the world is around us. The biggest challenge of doing this is the fact that it requires talents of people from multiple disciplines who are working together in a complementary way with the shared common goals and objectives. And that's not the way research is normally done at universities. It's not the way research is even done at most corporations. And so what we do at Ingenuity Lab is we bring people from everything from gene jockeys all the way through synthetic chemists and instrumentation people, and we identify a grand goal or vision, and then we have objectives in each one of those technological areas that require a lock-and-key intersection to solve the problems that we need to get to our common goal. And this means that you have to have people who want to work together as a team. And it means that you have to look at a problem from both a large scale of what the global goal is and at the simultaneously at the small scale. Okay, what are the things that we need to do to achieve that goal? I know it's trite, but it's very much like a man on the moon type of project and strategy. You know, when we wanted to put a man on the moon, you know, we had to solve the problem of the design of the vehicles, the materials that were used in the engines, the fuels that were used in the computer guidance system, Velcro tang. I mean, all of these sorts of things were all problems that had to solved to come together to allow you to successfully achieve the big goal. At Ingenuity Lab, we're unique in that our organization is designed to bring the people together to solve these big problems and to achieve those large-scale goals. And this is very, very different than the way most people work. Unfortunately, the challenge that you have is most projects are not funded that way. They're funded based upon solving isolated individual goals, and there is no place where there's a collective thought on getting things to get done. The second problem is that this whole process is one that requires a coherent vision and goal that you're setting that you work towards achieving. That means that you can't change what you're doing every 6 months or 18 months and say, oh, we're going to work on something else, because you will never really get where you need to go.
So how do we get past that, or how do we even define what the vision should be?
Well, the province of Alberta, I think, took a big step forward in funding the Ingenuity Lab and giving a long-term, stable funding foundation to allow us to create this vision of opportunity. It would be wonderful if at the national level and even globally that we would be able to get people to coordinate their activities and work together towards doing those things. But I think that the province has done a remarkable job in establishing this type of vision and deploying the resources necessary for allowing us to try and do this. It would be great if the province would look at funding others in this area or of this kind of mentality. And I think we could achieve many, many things that others can't by being able to do this.
Now, to me, what you've described is the mechanics of getting there. But what is the vision? You gave the example of getting a man on the moon. What would be your vision of where we should be heading? We know the problems of getting there. We know the mechanics of getting there. But where is it that we're actually going?
Well, we're going to several places. One of the challenges that we're working on is on developing new modalities for delivering more effective health care for less money. And so we're working on developing ways of treating a number of different eye diseases and working on vaccines, and we're working on trying to develop next generation artificial implants for joints that can effectively utilize the model of nanonature and networks to make these materials or systems more lifelike so that we can be far more effective in what we're doing. Other areas that we're working on is on water quality and water purification. It's probably the biggest problem that's facing society right now is the availability of good quality water, not just for drinking, but for agriculture. So we're focused very heavily on trying to develop a new state-of-the-art technology that allows us to take water which is not potable, not suitable for agriculture, and economically transform it into a supply of water to make people more prosperous by being able to open up lands through irrigation to generate food, by being able to provide quality drinking water that's safe. And the end result is that you end up having a globally healthier and more prosperous world. The other area that we are working on, as we touched on earlier, was on carbon transformation. Is how do we take valuable materials that we're producing in our industrial processes, and instead of throwing them out as waste, how do we transform that into valuable products that utilize every bit of economic value of the materials and resources that we use? So we're looking at using this carbon transformation from CO2, but we're also looking at our food processing areas of taking waste streams out of food processing, particularly in the dairy industry, of how do we transform those waste products into products that are more valuable and can generate more economic wealth.
One of the problems with funding, though, is that if you're dependent on governments or corporations, when the economy is flying, it's great, but when the economy is failing, there's problems there maintaining what you have. How do you deal with that in that sort of situation?
Well, luckily, the province has taken the position that they were going to fund me for a long period of time to allow me to develop and realize many of the objectives that we've identified. One point I want to make very clear is that the province provides the basement funding. They provide the foundation for allowing me to engage in partnership with industry. So what the Ingenuity Lab does is we work on developing the technology, move it to a point of where the vision can be understood and the value of it can be grasped by industries. We then work with industry to co-invest with us directly to produce this technology. That does two things. One, it sharpens our focus on the properties associated with the technology to ensure its economic competitiveness within the marketplace. And the second thing it does is it provides an additional amount of resources that are necessary to accelerate its movement and transition. It's an extraordinary model, and it's a model that I wish the province would look at expanding into other areas, because I think that it serves as a beacon of how long-term strategic investment in research can be more effectively implemented.
Can you name some of your partners?
I have several partners. One of my partners is Johnson & Johnson. Another one of my partners is Neuralinks, which is a company that sells neural probe data acquisition systems and working to make next generation neural probes. And we have others that we're working with. Saputo, the dairy company that produces a significant portion of Canada's dairy products.
Do you then see what you're promoting through Ingenuity Lab as actually being a paradigm shift? Would you describe it as that?
I think it's a paradigm shift in the sense that it's a fundamental change in the way we look at solving what we perceive to be intractable problems. And the concept being that you define what the problem is at the root cause, and then you work collaboratively through the integration of multiple disciplines to be able to solve those problems. And then the fundamental difference that what we do is that we look at incorporating the way nature works into trying to find a solution for those problems. And the fact of the matter is that when you talk about the fact that we only have 11 basic building blocks in which to solve those problems, is that many of those problems haven't been able to solve because our toolkit was too limited. By borrowing from nature, we've expanded that toolkit, and now we can begin solving those problems in ways that we hadn't thought of before.
Do you think that the general public is ready to accept that?
Oh, first of all, it's transparent to the public, and I think that they would be excited about it. The fact that the solutions that we're generating are solutions that have their roots in the natural world, and that the solutions that we're generating are designed within the confines of natural systems, and that the end result is that we just take nature and we've just using nature in a more dynamic way than we've done previously.
Thank you very much, Carlo.
Oh, thank you so much for having time to talk to me.